All right, the day is here. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 5 if you brought your Bibles. If you didn't bring your Bibles, that's okay. We're going to have the verses up here on the screen. And even before I begin, let me say this. Let me get it out of the way. I made it three sentences. Hear me say it's been a joy to be your pastor. Eight months or so ago, when the Lord put this on my heart, this series on my heart, I had no way of knowing that this would be the series that I left you with. I had no way of knowing. As a lot of you know, I like to plan my sermon series out in advance. I like to have an idea of where I'm going and what I'm preaching through, sometimes 6 months, sometimes 8 months, sometimes a year out. And so after a lot of time in prayer and a lot of time of seeking God's wisdom, and as many of you know, I really like to plan my sermon series hunting, so in the woods. So after a lot of time in the woods and praying and reading my Bible and searching the Lord's will, I settled on these three last series pretty easily, right? We looked at the valley, studying Ezekiel's moment in the valley of dry bones and what we could learn from that. We looked at the mountain, right? Tracing the lessons we learn about God that were taught there on Mount Moriah. And the river, here it is, crossing over from what God has done to what God is doing next. And I got to be honest with you, try as I might, from the moment I put those three sermon series on my spreadsheet, God never confirmed what it was that I was supposed to preach after this series. However much I prayed, however much I studied, however much I tried to plan, and I had various things, I just kept putting them on my spreadsheet and taking them off of my spreadsheet because I just couldn't figure out what was next. And so as I was praying about what God would have for our family, as I was praying about what God's will was for me and my ministry and our family, it struck me that that reality, that not having what's next, not having an idea of what I was supposed to preach for after this, that was one of those very small confirmations. Like, that's not a revelation. Like, that's not how God says, hey, I've got news. That's not it. But it's one of the ways that he confirmed his will for me and for us. But as I was reflecting on this passage this week, I realized that I could not have come up with a more fitting conclusion to our time together if I had tried. That's something that only God can do. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me one more time as we read God's word together from Joshua chapter 5. We're going to read three verses, beginning in verse 10. It says, "While the Israelites camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month. The day after Passover, they ate unleavened bread and roasted grain from the produce of the land. And the day after, they ate from the produce of the land, the manna ceased. Since there was no more manna for the Israelites, they ate from the crops of the land of Canaan that year." God, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. And give us hearts to receive your word and your will, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So as Israel crossed the river, God instructed them to pick up 12 stones, not to put in their pockets, but to put on their shoulders. And they carried those stones to Gilgal, where they placed the stones in such a way as to bring to mind, to remind them what God has done. For 40 years, the Israelites had wandered around in the wilderness. For 40 years, they had camped wherever the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night stopped. And when the pillar moved, they moved. For 40 years, the Lord provided manna for them to eat in the wilderness. Every morning, the same thing. Get up. Go outside, gather today's manna, not tomorrow's, because then it would spoil. Gather today's manna and trust God to provide tomorrow's. Every day. Every single day. But now that they have crossed the river, now that they have taken hold of what God had promised their ancestors so long ago. So they camp at Gilgal, and after they renewed their commitment to the Lord by circumcising all of the males, praise God, that wasn't our application last week. After taking up and obeying what had gone unheeded by the Israelites for 40 years, verse 10 says that they celebrated the Passover. And we noted last week that one of the things that God had said when he gave them the sign of circumcision as a covenant sign was that no male uncircumcised may receive the Passover. So here they go. They circumcise all of the men who had not been circumcised. I'm going to keep saying it till you're uncomfortable. And then they observe the Passover. The Passover meal was a memorial meal. The Passover meal was a time for them to get together and to remember what God has already done for them. So they take the time to take stock. To take stock not only of themselves, but to take stock of all of the things that the Lord had done to get them from where they were to where they are. They remember that while they were slaves in Egypt, God heard their cry. God heard them. He saw them. He saw their plight, and he brought them out of Egypt. It was God who sent the 10 plagues. Moses was there. Aaron was there. But it was all God's doing. The river of blood. God. The frog. The gnats, the flies, and the pestilence, and the boils, hail and lightning, locusts and darkness, the death of the firstborn. Moses was there. Aaron was there. But these were all God's doing. And each plague was a demonstration of God's power and God's authority, because every single one of those represented actually an Egyptian god. And so it represented God's power, his authority, his status as God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords. No other god can stand before him. No other god can get in his way. And when the death angel swept through Egypt, the Lord had commanded all of Israel to be ready to go, to put the blood of a lamb on their doorposts so that the death angel would pass over their home. The Passover meal was a communal remembrance of that moment in time, of God's provision, of God's protection, God's power and God's deliverance. But as Israel sat in Gilgal, and as they remembered God's actions in Egypt, I'm sure they also remembered the way He provided for them in the wilderness. Think about it. When they were thirsty, He gave them water from a rock 2 times. I mean, we got a lot of rain this last week, but we live in San Antonio. We could use some water from a rock every now and then, right? Right? Sometimes I feel like that's what it's going to take. He gave them water from a rock 2 times. He provided manna for them. Manna, that word actually translates to, what is that? He gave them, what is that? Every day. Every day. How many of you have ever gone on a mission trip internationally? Raise your hand. How many of you have traveled internationally? Raise your hand. If you were deployed internationally, we'll count it. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is that when I travel internationally, decision fatigue isn't really a thing in the majority world, right? Especially when it comes to meals. They don't decide night after night after night whether it's going to be Italian or Chinese or if they're going to, like, they don't do that. No, they eat. Praise God. If they get to eat, they're thrilled to eat. They eat a lot of times the same meal over and over and over and over. How many moms at homes, like, you plan your menus for your family? You're like, I could use that. That'd be really nice. For 40 years, God provided the same thing for them. Manna. One meal. And for some of you, that would have been enough to have sent you right over the edge. Right? Some of you don't even like leftovers. For others, the fact that the Bible describes manna as resembling coriander seed, which, if you didn't know that already, coriander is what Texans call cilantro, right? But here's the thing, when it comes to manna or nothing, that manna tastes pretty good. That manna tastes pretty good. Add a little tomato, little onion, little jalapeno, dip a tortilla chip in the manna. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can I get a witness? Right? Right? And it says in verse 11, it says in verse 11 that the day after Passover, they ate unleavened bread and roasted grain from the produce of the land. So they remember their deliverance from Egypt. They remember God's provision for them in the wilderness, and they remember God's faithfulness to them every step of the day, and they eat unleavened bread and roasted grain from the produce of the land. Do you see what's happening here? They're not eating manna. They're not eating manna anymore. They're eating from the land. And here's the truth that I want every single one of us to take hold of this morning. Before you can take the next step, before you can step into what's next, you have to, and I want you to write this down, you have to remember what God has already done. Before you can move forward, you have to remember what God has already done. What they see, God has been faithful to His people. He's been faithful consistently. He's been faithful patiently. He's been faithful abundantly. University Baptist Church, God has been faithful to you. God has been faithful to you consistently. God has been faithful to you patiently. God has been faithful to you abundantly. And you don't have to forget the past in order to move forward. In fact, the strength you need in order to move forward, in order to move forward into what's next, that strength comes in remembering what God has already done. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "And the day after they ate from the produce of the land." I'm going to encourage you to underline this or highlight this or circle this. The manna ceased. The day after they ate from the produce of the land, the manna ceased. How sudden must that have felt? Did they get a warning? I don't see any evidence of a warning here. But that had to have felt incredibly sudden, right? For 40 years, God had given them manna, morning after morning after morning, with one exception. What day was it? The Sabbath. You didn't get manna on the Sabbath. You got 2 days worth of Sabbath, or 2 days worth of manna on the day before the Sabbath, but every other day, morning after morning after morning, there's what is it on the ground? Every day, God fed them. Every day, God provided for them. Every day, God met their need in the exact same way. And here they go, as they cross the river, as they eat from the land. What is this land? This land flowing with milk and honey. This is the land of promise. As they enter into this land, and as they step into what's next, the manna manna was important. God had provided for them with manna. God had met their needs with manna. Had it not been for that manna, they would not have survived. That manna meant something. As they're crossing in the wilderness, their need was real. Their hunger was real. And I want you to see, God's provision was real. This wasn't this nonsensical idea. Well, you know, God provided them this manna. It really was. God provided them a little bit, and everybody was sacrificial, and they all got skinny. No. God provided and met their needs and gave them exactly what they needed morning after morning. But I need you to understand something. That manna was never intended to be permanent. That manna was always intended by God to be the thing to get them from point A to point B. And sometimes the way God provides in one season is not how He chooses to provide in the next. And when that changes, can we be honest and say that feels like we've lost something? That feels like loss. But I want you to see in this text, and I want you to understand, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, that God may change the how, but He always provides. God may change how he provides, but he always provides. They're eating crops from the produce of the land. So even though the manna stopped, they're not lacking provision. They're not left on their own. They're not left with nothing. It's just that the manna has stopped. But God has already supplied something new. God is already providing something new. God didn't wait until the manna stopped to figure out what's next. He had already prepared the land. Notice, they're eating from the crops. You know what crops aren't? Random. You know what crops aren't? Weeds. You know what crops aren't? Something that you just pick up off the ground and eat it. Don't do that. No, the crops were farmed. They were prepared. They were planted. They were cultivated. They were nourished. They were watered. They were grown. So now they walk into a land flowing with milk and honey, and surprise, surprise, there's crops waiting for them. They eat from the harvest of the land that they didn't cultivate. I want you to see that God is not reacting. God is not scrambling. God is already ahead of his people, preparing what's next before they get there. So if you're taking notes, here's the third thing I want you to write down. God is already at work for your good. God is already at work for your good. I want you to be encouraged that God never removes one provision without preparing another. Israel could have rejected the harvest. They could have wished for the good old days. Oh, I remember those days when God just dropped the what is that right outside my door. All they had to do was go outside and pick it up. Now, the crops were there in the land, but can I tell you a secret? Harvesting crops is not easy work. Farming is not easy. Also, this generation of Israelites were not farmers. Right? They wandered around the desert for 40 years, and before that they were slaves. These are not farmers who are sons of farmers who learned it at... Nope. They don't know what they're doing at all. These are nomads. Those 40 years in the desert... There's 40 years in the desert. Here's what we know. We've read the Bible, right? We've seen it from their perspective. We've heard their documents. They say the Lord was leading them. I believe that's the case. But do you know what this season, those 40 years, or do you know what that's called? What that's known as? The wilderness wanderings. We don't like that. God had a purpose, but to us it just looked like they were doing circles. God is leading them with a purpose. And the truth of the matter is, you don't get good at farming by moving around. You learn to farm by staying in one place, planting the seed, cultivating the crop, and reaping the harvest. And even then, you have to do it over and over and over, and it is painstaking work. It is way easier to go outside, to walk outside, and to pick up what is that off the ground. To pick up manna from heaven. Israel could have wished for the good old days. They could have ran to the good old days. They could have gone backwards. They could have tried to return to what once was. They could have resisted what God was doing and what God was moving them into. They could have just sat on the ground, crossed their arms, and thrown a little fit. They looked at the roasted grain and just went, "I'm not eating that. That's gross." You know what God's not going to do? "Oh, honey, I'll just make you a grilled cheese sandwich." No. But here's the thing. They didn't resist. They didn't stop short of what God was leading them to. No, no, no. They ate what the Lord placed in front of them. Children, learn. They ate what God placed in front of them. And here's the danger. The danger in a moment like this is not that God won't provide. The danger is that his people hesitate. As a church, you are stepping into a new season. And the question is not, will this season be different from the one before? It will be different. The question is, will you continue to trust God in this new season? And the answer must be yes. University Baptist Church, I am confident that the same God who has provided for you consistently, faithfully, patiently, abundantly, I am convinced that the same God who has provided for you these past 46 years has not abandoned you. He has been faithful. He is faithful. And he will always be faithful to fulfill his promise. And I don't know what the days ahead may hold, but I pray that you will walk forward into this next season, not filled with anxiety, not paralyzed with fear, but also not so nostalgic for the days behind you that they stay in the way of what God has in front of you. No, I pray that you walk forward with the confidence of knowing that the same God who brought you to this point will continue to lead you forward. You see, when the manna stops, it doesn't mean that God has stopped. It just means he's leading you into what's next. And there's a consistent theme here. See, once Israel walked through the river, you remember the Lord loosed the waters, right? Once they ate of the land, God stops the manna. One of the methods God uses in his kindness to prod us forward is to remove what sustained us in the past. One of the ways he pushes us to what's next is he takes away what's holding us here. That's true of us at a church level. But hear me, that's just as true for you individually. For a moment, I don't want to preach to University Baptist Church. I just want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Some of you are in a season right now where something familiar has stopped or is stopping. Something that you counted on, something that felt steady, something that for a long time you felt like you could depend on, and now it's just not there anymore. And when you're honest, you would say that does not feel like progress. It feels like loss. It feels like God took something away from you. But hear me, what if the stopping is not God abandoning you? What if it's God advancing you and pressing you forward? What if the manna stopping is actually the evidence that you've stepped into the next season of His provision? You see, for some of you, the manna was that season of clarity. And now you're walking by faith into whatever's next. And you're having to trust the Lord in ways that you've never trusted Him before. Listen, for some of you, it was a relationship. For some of you, it was a role. For some of you, it was just a rhythm, a way you did things. For some of you, it was a sense of stability. And now it's gone. And things have changed. And you're wondering and praying, asking God, what are you doing? And here's where Joshua 5 reminds you that when God changes how He provides for you, He is not abandoning you. He is leading you forward. The manna stopped. But God's provision didn't. It just looks different now. So worship team makes their way forward. Here's the question you have to answer. Will you trust God with what He's providing now? Or will you sit there and wish for what He provided then? It's a challenging question. Will you step forward into what's next? Or will you stay stuck, longing for what's behind you? May these be the last words I speak as your pastor. What's in front of you is not something to fear. It's something to receive. Because God has been faithful. God is faithful. And God will always be faithful to you. Would you pray?